It's Philosophy Talk.
Islamic extremists carried out a deadly targeted attack on the offices of the satirical French magazine Charlie Hebdo.
The power and perils of satire.
Trying to strike a blow against free expression, the right to offend.
Should there be limits on what can be satirized?
Francis thinks we shouldn't mock religion. Who does he think he is? The Pope?
Look, if we suddenly start shying away from mocking the French with tired stereotypes, the terrorists win.
Doesn't free speech guarantee our right to poke fun at anyone we want?
Comedy is tragedy plus time. See, when the night Lincoln was shot, you couldn't joke about it. You couldn't make a joke about that. He just couldn't do it. Now time has gone by, and now it's fair game. See what I mean? It's tragedy plus time.
Our guest is Jane Kirtley, director of the Center for the Study of Media Ethics and Law at the University of Minnesota.
The power and perils of satire. Coming up on Philosophy Talk.
Welcome to Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence. I'm John Perry.
And I'm Ken Taylor. We're here at the studios of KALW San Francisco.
Continuing conversations that begin at Philosopher's Corner at Stanford, where Ken teaches philosophy, and I did for 40 wonderful years.
Yeah, John, we all remember those years fondly. Today, we're thinking about the power and peril of satire.
Satire, Ken, uses humor to ridicule and shame and embarrass people, and importantly, institutions. It can be a potent tool for exposing society's ills.
Yeah, John, I totally agree with you, especially when it comes to politicians and other powerful people. Satire is the perfect way to take them down a peg or two.
Well, I'm all for satirizing the rich and powerful, and even the moderately rich and moderately powerful. What does bother me is when people use satire to attack the poor and vulnerable and downtrodden.
Well, I see your point, John. But, you know, should we really call it satire if it's aimed at the poor and the downtrodden? Isn't that just mean-spirited hate speech or something?
Well, I don't know how we should use the word, but the way people do use the word and the way people self-consciously think of themselves when they do a lot of this hate speech is as satire. A lot of satire, or what passes for satire, is mean-spirited and hateful. Take, for example, those anti-Muslim cartoons in the French satirical rag Charlie Hebdo.
You mean the ones that got those poor cartoonists killed?
Yeah, I mean, truly mean-spirited, nasty stuff. But satire, everybody calls it.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sure you agree. I don't care how vicious the cartoons were. Surely nobody deserves to die over a few cartoons, John, right?
Yes, Ken. I actually do agree with you that we shouldn't go around murdering people for drawing cartoons. But I still think Charlie Hebdo, although they didn't deserve what they got, still, you know, they went too far. Have you actually seen their cartoons?
Oh, I have. I took a good look at a whole bunch of them. They never hold back, John. It's no holds barred. They target everybody with the same level of viciousness. It's not just Muslims. It's Catholics and it's Jews, too. They've been doing this forever, and they've been banned in France because of it at times. They even had one cartoon of Pope Francis wearing a skimpy Mardi Gras bikini dancing on the streets of Rio. I'm sure the Pope didn't like it. But if religion isn't fair game for satire, I don't know what is.
Well, there's a big difference between ridiculing the Pope in a country that's traditionally Catholic and ridiculing Muhammad when Muslims are clearly in France an oppressed minority.
But you're not saying that we can only ridicule the dominant religion of a country, are you? I mean, why think that?
No, but I do think that when you, just as you said, when you ridicule oppressed groups and the Muslims in minority in France is such a group. Maybe it shouldn't be called satire. It really is, according to you, hate speech.
No, that wasn't my point. It's only hate speech if it's directed at the powerless. And Islam is not powerless. It's a pretty potent force in the world. It's the state religion in many countries. Islamic extremists are wreaking havoc all over the place. Moderate Muslims in France and elsewhere probably took offense at Charlie Hebdo. But you know what they need to do? They need to grow a thicker skin. That's what they need to do.
Well, even America, we recognize that sometimes freedom of expression has to be limited. You're not free to threaten people, incite violence, defame character. There's other examples where we justifiably impose limits on what people can say.
Yeah, I grant you that, but in all those kind of examples, the reason we limit freedom of expression is because the speech in question could bring about serious harm to people. And, you know, yeah, I agree, your right to not be harmed by others trumps their right to say whatever they want.
Exactly.
No, not exactly. What's the harm in a little satire?
Well, I'm not talking about mere offense and discomfort. I'm talking about real harm. When satire targets society's marginalized, all it does is confirm people's prejudices about the group in question. And that leads to further harms, discrimination in jobs or housing or often violence.
Gosh, John, you think a few cartoons can do all that? I think you're seriously overestimating the actual power of satire.
Well, you know, in preparation for this program, I reviewed a lot of the cartoons of African Americans and American Indians in the 19th century, continuing the 20th century. I think you're seriously underestimating the peril of satire directed at minorities who are in danger.
You know, look, I'm going to grant you that where politics and satire meet, things actually can get very heated. And so we sent our roving philosophical reporter, Shukun Kalantari, to talk to political satirists about how they themselves draw the line between comedy and hate speech. She files this report.
For generations, presidents have been the subject of satire.
I'm here this evening appearing on the bill with Mr. Hoover. So now you, I expect you won't hear any more of Amos and Andy. It'll just be Hoover and Rogers from now on.
But when the Twin Towers were hit on September 11th, 2001, the country was in mourning. George W. Bush went from being a political punching bag to a revered national leader.
And then you couldn't talk about Bush at all. You know, to impugn the president was giving the terrorists a foot rub.
Will Durst is a political satirist in San Francisco. After the 9/11 shine faded, he joked a lot about Bush.
Ethics eluding, preemptory invading of a country that had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11, 35-day vacation taking, domestic spying, CIA...
He went on like this for about a minute and a half.
I would get people coming up afterwards saying that it was unpatriotic. You know, in these dark times, America has to pull together.
Durst says the key to good political satire is to make fun of people in power. That way you're punching up, not punching down.
I don't believe in mocking or scoffing or taunting the people who are less fortunate. Afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted.
And I just love that idea that the comfortable are sort of put off, you know, by a joke.
That's Francesca Fiorentini. She's a comedian and the host of a comedy news show on Al Jazeera Plus.
Clinton, Bush, Trump. Wife, brother, racist uncle-in-law after one too many. The who's who of Washington and the 1% are running for president in 2016. But they're not dynasties, they're dynasties.
My target, at least, in terms of who I make fun of, tends to be those in power and tends to be, you know, those with privilege. And I think they deserve it, you know, they can take it. But I'm not about to start making fun of homeless people, and I'm not about to make fun of, you know, people of color for asking to be brutalized by the police or something like this.
Fiorentini says that kind of punching down happened a lot after 9/11. In the media and among comedians.
I went to a comedy show after 9/11 in New York City, and I was floored because every single comic was incredibly racist. Anti-Arab racism all over the map.
That doesn't mean that all jokes about the Middle East or Islam are off the table. Fiorentini just says they should be thought-provoking, or at least not outright racist.
I'm working on something around ISIS, you know, talking about how ISIS almost makes you miss Al-Qaeda. It's like the way Justin Bieber almost makes you miss 98 degrees. Nobody misses 98 degrees.
Both Fiorentini and Will Durst think comedy makes people pay more attention to politics. Durst says when people laugh, they're more receptive to new thoughts and ideas.
Because I think people, when they're laughing and drinking and having a good time, you can drop seeds of doubt. And, you know, maybe propose an alternate direction or philosophy, but my job is to make them laugh out loud on purpose against their will, which is tough enough already.
Do you have a political joke you think can make the folks in our studio laugh? Email it to us at comments@philosophytalk.org, and we'll publish the best ones on our blog. For Philosophy Talk, I'm Shuka Kalantari.